I'm speaking today with Councilmember Ed Gonzalez, who is the newly elected council member in District H. Councilmember, first I want to congratulate you on your victory in May, and I'd like to ask, in the time that you've been in office since June, after the runoff, has it been what you thought it would be when you were running?
It sure has. In fact, I've actually enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would. It's been a wonderful journey so far. It's been a short 2 months, but just very excited about serving. I really look forward to coming to work every day, and it's been a tremendous challenge and something I'm enjoying a great deal.
Now, you kind of hit the ground running in that one of the first things that took place after you were sworn in was an issue involving the recycling center on Center Street and people not wanting it to be moved to a different location nearer to downtown. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes, well, that was one of the first actions I had to take, was kind of to request some additional time on that, because I felt that the community had not had any input on the decision whatsoever, at least to try to locate a more suitable spot for the recycling center if, in fact, it was going to be moved. So quickly got to work on that, did some outreach to the community and was able to work with the administration to go ahead and kind of table that fairly quickly. So we're glad that way, we can always make sure that the community at least has some input on some of the decisions going on, obviously.
Now, of course, District H didn't have a council member, from January until you won the runoff in June. Would you say the district was behind in some sense for not having, a district representation, and do you feel like you're catching up, or talk a little about that?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think we have so many issues that are occurring, for example, the Washington Corridor and other issues. The one we just spoke about, the recycling center, was already in the works when I took office. So there were some things that we needed to be aggressive on and get on fairly quickly, because there had not been any direct representation, even though the at-large council members had done a great job in stepping in and assisting. But still, there's nothing like having someone that's kind of on top of the issue. So there was some of that. And then other things, I've just tried to get in there as much as I can, try to get updated on issues that are impacting the community. So I think we're in a good place right now. Again, just a lot of issues going on, so it's a daily thing that we're having to make sure we're on top of.
Most of the council members I speak to who are now past their first term talk about the first term in office being very much a learning experience. The expression "drinking from a fire hose" usually comes up.
Yes.
How has that been? I mean, do you feel like you're, like it's nonstop learning? Do you feel like you're getting a handle on stuff? Tell me about where you feel you stand right now.
Sure. I think there's always an opportunity to learn and grow. I hope I always have that type of philosophy, because when you're, it's like our kids. Whenever, they're at that young age, they just want to absorb and learn everything. Everything's they see it with amazement. So to some extent, it is some of that. There's so much to learn. You want to make sure you're getting it right, that you're getting informed on things. But I think I do feel a little bit that things are slowing down somewhat, that I'm getting a better grasp of everything. I think the time that I did spend at City Hall previously during some of my community liaison work did assist me in being prepared. I do feel that I did step in. It wasn't overwhelming. Things were happening really quick, but things are slowing down a little bit more and really finding a good rhythm at this point.
One of the things that's happened since we spoke during your initial candidacy was that Metro has now broken ground on the North Line and the Southeast Lines. The North Line certainly is in District H. I think there's some intersection of the Southeast Line as well. Tell me, what's your assessment of their progress on this, and I know this Metro has had some issues with the community on the Harrisburg Line. How good do you feel about their communication with the people who will be affected by construction for the North and Southeast Lines?
Sure. First of all, I'm excited that we're finally getting started on this. I wish it would have started much sooner, but we're here now and it's time to go forward. And I've had conversations with Metro to get updates on the status of the project. Want to make sure that we are trying to stay on top of it, that we are doing good outreach to the community, especially the business owners along the lines. I think it would be unfortunate if those that have made stayed there for so long get pushed out their businesses because of the impacts of light rail coming. But I think that there is a good outreach taking place with those business owners and the residents to let them know what's going on. At times, I do feel that Metro leaves a lot to be desired in terms of sufficient outreach. I think they could do a lot more. For example, there were some concerns recently, as you mentioned, along the Harrisburg line, where the community felt that they had received certain indications that the building there was going to be saved, and then without much outreach to the community, it seemed that the decision had been made to go the other direction and perhaps demolish the building. So these are things that sometimes we have to react in real time, and we just got to keep pushing and keep advocating for more outreach between Metro and the community. So I'm glad it's getting started. It's time to get moving. Obviously, we need a lot more. We need to keep developing sustainable transportation alternatives that go beyond just light rail, beyond just those lines. We need to be thinking more comprehensively in terms of commuter rail down the road and some other alternatives as well.
Are you concerned about the way Metro is doing bonds for its rail expansion? There's a story just in the Chronicle about that. I mean, I'm not a finance guy, so I don't know that I fully understood all the ins and outs of it. But Metro's claim is that it's okay. Some other people will say it's not. I mean, do you have any concerns about the way Metro is doing bonds for its rail construction?
Well, we always have concerns. How projects are getting financed and the impact that it has. Obviously financially going forward and all that. So it is something that we're always concerned. We do, especially in this office, we've done a good job since I came in of trying to stay on top of what's going on with Metro. I have someone that actively attends some of the community meetings to listen in to those presentations and to hear what's going on. Again, I've met with Metro leadership as well. So, there's nothing right now that I would say that I'm overly concerned about with what they're doing, but we are constantly trying to assess what's happening, and if there is something that raises concerns, then we definitely need to pursue it some more, especially if how many bonds and the cost and all that, how it's being funded. We definitely want to make sure that we're being responsible as well.
The city passed its budget this year before the special election. What's your impression of the city's finances right now? And as you look forward to as you look ahead to the next fiscal year, where do you think we're going to stand, and how should city council be dealing with the current financial situation for the city?
Sure. Well, I think that the city overall, due to some good decision making by this administration and this council body, I think has made some good decisions. I think overall the city's in a good place. However, with that said, I am concerned about unfunded liabilities that do exist with the pensions, for example, the pension systems. And also, I'm concerned with cuts to our academy classes, our police academy classes. We were previously funding seven. An average of seven a year, we're down to two. I've been looking at the situation. I see where we're going to have another wave of retirements coming up in the near future, or in the foreseeable future, and that concerns me because as we're retiring more police officers, or as we become an aging police officer, a police department, and we're not bringing any new cadets, via academy classes, then it creates a concern because somehow or another we're already operating at a low ratio in terms of officers to population, and then on top of that we're understaffed to begin with. So, and obviously crime is always a major concern, not only in District 8 but citywide. So going forward, that is something that we're going to have to address. Even though Houston's fared better than other cities, we do have to make sure we're tightening our budget. that we're making responsible decisions going forward, and that's always something difficult to maneuver because we have a lot of needs in the city, not only public safety, but there's libraries, parks, solid waste, other very critical projects that need to take place, so that's a concern.
Well, of course, I mean, you know, the police and public safety in general is a huge part of the city's budget, and one of the things that, you know, you notice when you look at the budget outline is that, you know, the cost of paying for the police has gone up dramatically, even without there being much of an expansion in the police force. It's a matter of salaries, it's a matter of pension obligations. So how do you balance that? How do you balance that? I mean, everyone talks about wanting to increase the size of the police force. It's going to cost a lot of money. Where's that going to come from?
Yes, I mean, you're exactly right. I think, I think our community is taxed high enough, so I don't think that's an option there. We need to continue to find ways to expand revenue through economic development and creating new opportunities where we could grow our economic base somehow, our revenue base. But I think, again, it's just going to be, we're going to have to really look at where our money's going to, making sure that it's the best use of funds. At times we might have to make difficult decisions in terms of, how we want our police department to operate, and that's, again, the difficult thing that we're going to have to start really looking at going forward over the next few years, because we want to be community oriented and have a police presence at the community level. And you do that by having police officers on the streets, visible, of course. You know, we'd like to have them at storefronts as well and other community-based projects. But, if we're not growing the police department, then who's going to staff the other functions of the police department as well? So, I mean, these are just some of the challenges that we're facing. And we need to start looking at that, with a fine-tooth comb because these aren't easy decisions, and I'm just, again, concerned about, what our options might be going forward. I mean, you're right. I mean, our obligations to salary and pensions are high, so it's not like our police department's growing. So we're just really going to have to see what we could do and how we could find revenue streams to be able to fund these things at the proper levels.
The president of the Houston Police Officers Union has expressed the opinion that a policy that HPD has in place restricting police officers from inquiring about the immigration status of people that they that people pull over or encounter on the streets, they think that's wrong, and they're critical of Mayor White and Chief Hurt and have called on this policy to be overturned. What is your take on this?
Well, I am not in favor of 287G. The reason being is that, number one, we just talked about budget issues right now, and the program to implement, the cost that I've been told is in the neighborhood of $2 million a year to be able to do that. At the street level, we're dealing with a civil issue in terms of immigration. I think what happens is that no one can argue in terms of identifying criminal, illegal activity that's taking place. We arrest people on a daily basis that are committing criminal acts that, based on that end up getting filed on for serious crimes and end up getting identified as being here illegally. But what happens many times is that through a broad process, like 287G, you also open it up to a lot of possibilities where you're forcing our local police officers here to start having to identify possible undocumented people. And how do you do that process fairly? Who would it target? What does an illegal alien look like? And these are some of the challenges that many fear can lead to racial profiling or to other civil rights violations. There's been occasions where individuals have been arrested that had limited English speaking skills because perhaps they were born here but were raised in a different country and didn't have a good command of English. So, are they going to be picked up because they're suspected of being undocumented. I mean, these are some of the issues and concerns that are out there that could impact, you know, I mean, really could put the city on in a huge liability if someone's picked up. I know we have to continue to be tough on crime, go after violent criminals and all that, but the cost associated with it, without it proving to be a successful, effective model, is a major concern for me.
There was just recently a Chronicle story about the city working with the county on some various TERS deals that would, among other things, pay for a replacement city jail facility, and also the possibility, or really it might pay for a new county facility that would then take over the city jail function. You know, talk to me a little bit about this. What do you think, this is a good approach as opposed to, you know, paying for it through bonds and referenda, or do you think, you know, do you think it's necessary?
Well, I definitely think it's necessary for us to look at our jailing incarceration systems. You know, how we pay it, I'd be interested to look at in greater detail how we're going to use those TERS monies and be comparing that to maybe putting it on a bond or some type of referendum. I do think we need it. Now, the mechanism of how we go about it, I'm open to listening to options and possibilities. It's needed because our jail is in serious need. It's old. It's not operated properly in terms of equipment. Many of those inmates end up being transferred to the Harris County Jail anyway. And so I would be in favor of us moving away from the jail business and allowing another entity to operate it. And, so I would definitely be open to another area to go along with that is making sure that we're finding perhaps some type of a facility to also a better process our inmates that come in that might be suffering from mental illness. Many times we end up criminalizing a lot of that behavior, and they go in with the regular population many times, and there's not adequate medical treatment that's taking place. So I think this is something that we need to explore a little bit better, making sure that as they come in, we're stabilizing them, finding exactly what's going on, and trying to see if we can work on some of those issues that are going on so it doesn't become a revolving door. I mean, we pay a tremendous amount incarcerating, especially individuals that are suffering from mental illness. They end up homeless on the streets or trespassing somewhere, and they end up getting caught up in the criminal justice system when in reality it's just a mental illness issue that's occurring there, and it's not being resolved in any way. So I think if we're getting away from that, we should also encourage that type of facility from being a part of a greater incarceration system that we have.
Coming back to District H for a minute, we talked about Washington Avenue corridor and stuff going on. Tell me a little bit about what is going on, what we should expect, and kind of what the vision is for the Washington Avenue corridor.
Well, it's growing tremendously. There's tremendous growth, which is kind of interesting because as we see, again, so many other cities that are suffering, it's amazing to see the amount of growth that's occurring along the Washington corridor. It's changing dramatically as we speak. If you travel down there any weekend, it's just to capacity with the activity that's going on. Unfortunately, that also creates a big burden not only on the community but also on resources. The police have to respond to a higher number of calls to the area for illegal parking complaints and other nuisance violations, so it's really putting a strain on our police resources as well that obviously need to be used for other critical calls as well throughout the area. And also, again, on the quality of life of the residents. The residents that live on properties that have been long-time residents of the area, and this area is just growing to capacity. We have to continue to find the right mix. We have to be supportive of area businesses. They do generate revenue for the city and obviously create vibrant areas that, you know, at some point, you know, growth is a good thing. We need to make sure that, that our city continues to grow. We just have to find, going forward, how we could best navigate through that growth through better planning, through better coordination of resources as well, making sure we're making the added infrastructure investments to areas. They do continue to increase revenue. And, you know, these are some of the things that we're working through. We are working diligently with other city departments, such as Public Works, Traffic and Engineering, and Parking Management, and the Planning Department as well, having active conversations about the problems and trying to find solutions. For example, additional parking locations or perhaps some type of shuttle service or trolley service, if you will. And so these are things that we are trying to look at, other parking options that might be available, like metered parking during evening hours to just create additional parking areas. So we are trying to find active solutions to these problems that are impacting the Washington corridor.
Anything, any other big projects coming up, like with the CIP process or anything else kind of on tap and ready to go in District H?
Well, right now we're still trying to look, obviously, streets such as Yale Street, we're looking at possible reconstruction there or some type of a project along Yale Street. We are trying to work through that because we want to make sure that we're not impacting some trees. You know, obviously trees are important for our city, for our area. We want to make sure we're continuing to build our tree supply. So, we're working through the Yale Street project there. Obviously, Main Street, north of 45 to Airline is currently underway as well. And Airline is a street that's very much in need of some work. So trying to get a handle on updates on that street as well to see what phase we're in for that project as well. So Moody Park and the Near North Side, that's up for expansion. Their community center there, it's still on schedule to begin next year. So these are some of the projects that are going on, and we're always trying to see as well how we can make sure that we're identifying other much-needed projects in the area going forward as well.
One of the things that you will have to look forward to, whether for good or for bad, is redistricting in 2011 and the addition of two more district council seats. What do you want to? How do you want that process to go? And you know, what do you want to see happen to District H? There's some people have talked about forming a district that might join up the Heights and Montrose and doing District H more to the north and east. What's your opinion on that?
Well, in terms of how the final lines get redrawn, you know, I haven't given that any significant amount of thought yet. My main thing right now is making sure we get an accurate count, that we look at, that we work through the census in particular, make sure that count is accurate and incorporates a lot of the hard to count areas in particular, and then from there making sure that we have a fair and equitable redesign that takes into account all the information that's necessary. So right now I have been a part of the city's effort with the census. I chair one of those committees, and I'm just excited to be a part of it and seeing the growth that's occurring in Houston and then adding additional representation to our area. I grew up in the Near North Side, but I'm truly a product of the Heights area where I attended the area schools and was raised. So I'm really interested to see how it all ends up unfolding over these next couple of years. I think it'll be a fun time to be a part of all this, seeing how things get debated and discussed and how it all ends up playing out.
One of the things that got discussed a lot while the District H seat was vacant and your colleague, Councilmember Rodriguez, was the only Latino on city council was the fact that, you know, there was one Latino in city government and yet the city of Houston is 40-something% Latino. It seems like there is some hope, at least in the Latino community, that the 2011 redistricting will allow for the creation of another district seat that would be favorable to elect a Latino candidate. What's your opinion? Do you think that's possible? Would you like to see that happen?
Oh, yes. It's always possible. I think that, any time that we could bring a diversity of opinion and backgrounds to any governing body or decision-making process, I think it's always good. I think the fact that for a while there, again, there was only one Latino city council, a higher segment of population, again, of our city is changing, then I think it makes it important to have that representation. It doesn't negate the fact that others can adequately represent all communities, and ultimately that's the way I see it. I never see that I'm a representative only of the Hispanic community. I truly try to represent all of District H as fairly and equitable as possible, and try to I solicit opinions and reach out to community leaders of all backgrounds, but it's always a positive thing as well, where you do bring new leadership that understands the culture sometimes that comes from those communities that the community can perhaps better relate to and identify with. We have a high percentage of our Hispanic population that's dropping out of schools, for example. So anytime that you have any type of Hispanic leader out in the community, it's something that bodes well, I think, that when they can see individuals that have made it, that have succeeded, and now making decisions on city council that impact those communities as well. So I think it's a positive thing. But the main thing is just for us to again get increased representation, because then we could better represent communities wherever they get located, and I think that's a good thing.
Obviously, we're going to be electing a new mayor this fall. What has been your experience working with Mayor White, and what should be the new mayor's top priority?
Well, I've enjoyed working with Mayor White. I have a good relationship with him. Obviously, it's been somewhat short, and I regret somewhat that I'm coming already at the tail end, because I wish I would have been exposed to his leadership a little bit longer. I feel that he's been a good leader for our city. It's been, again, a great learning experience to be working as part of his administration here under this city council. And it's been a terrific opportunity these last few months. Going forward, I think we need to have a mayor that's going to pay attention to making sure that the city continues to grow economically, that we're addressing some of these critical issues, such as the police department, staffing levels, for example, and how we address those important issues that we discussed earlier. How do we really maintain a certain level of service when we're not really growing in numbers with the police department? And then also planning, of course. We see neighborhoods that are becoming more and more dense, but the infrastructure is not being added. We also need to make sure that we are continuing to address quality of life issues. We need to make sure that we have clean air, we have clean water, that we're repairing aging infrastructure that's out there that's very old, that needs more improvement. These are a lot of important issues that are facing our community at this time. But that's why we're here making those decisions, is to hopefully have a hand in making these important decisions that will impact our city and region for many years to come.
As we speak today, you don't have an opponent in November, but assuming the voters return you to office in next year, what would you say would be your top priority for the next term and beyond?
Sure. My top priority will be to work hard to keep our community safe, understanding the challenges that we face, with staffing levels, if you will, trying to find creative ways that just because we have low staffing does not mean that we negate the fact that our communities need to stay safe. I know there's a lot of break-ins going on to vehicles, and if you will, especially like in the Heights, you hear We get those calls, we hear from constituents, so that really concerns me. So we need to find ways to be more proactive, that we're targeting high crime areas, especially trying to work proactively to apprehend those criminals. So keeping our communities are safe will be very important, making sure that we keep the city in good financial standing, and we're trying to make responsible decisions in terms of being efficient with the monies and resources that we have, and also quality of life issues, making sure that we're addressing issues that impact the residents on a daily basis. We have a lot of issues, for example, with the alleyways in the Heights and abandoned properties in the Denver Harbor area that have remained a nuisance in the community. They're abandoned, they're unattended to, and they attract criminal activity. Making sure we're getting those destroyed in a timely manner, demolished in a timely manner, and as well as other concerns with I'd like to see us grow our recycling rates more, with curbside recycling programs. So we currently have a pilot program with six neighborhoods. I'd like to see that expanded and to grow, and so we're not abusing our limited landfill space, so that means we're being more responsive in terms of recycling. So these are some of the challenges, but I really enjoy getting my hands in all of it. So they're all priorities because it impacts someone out there in some form or fashion. So we want to make sure that we're addressing as many issues as we can.
Councilmember Ed Gonzalez, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you.